This is Children's Hour coming to you from AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope. Voice of
Hope. With you in mind, we have programs such as Bible verses, recitals, story time, singing, and many, many more just for you. Stay tuned.
Share the heart like Jesus, by His presence, so divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine. All that is my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000. In my blessed Lord I see.
Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deeper sea.
All that truths my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me.
Every need He has supplied, every good in Him I see. On His strength divine relying, He is all in all to me.
All that cheers my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000, in my desert, Lord, I see.
By the crystal flowing river, with the ransom I will sing. And forever, praise and glorify the King.
All that treats my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000, in my blessed Lord I see. All that treats my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000, in my blessed Lord I see.
I am 8 years old. My memory verse is taken from Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen.
My name is Deborah Malto. I am 10 years old. My memory verse is taken from John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God and also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I come back, I will receive you unto myself. Amen.
My name is Christine Osei Bobie. My memory verse is taken from Psalm 56, verse 2 to 4. My slanders pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, O Lord, I will trust in you. I trust in God and I'm not afraid. I praise Him for what He has promised. What can a mere human being do to me? my power test. We will reflect God's love when we are patient with others and accept them.
My name is Natalia Jenny Boateng. I am 11 years old. My memory verse is taken from Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the word of the Lord. Amen.
My name is Angela Collins. I am 7 years old. My memory verse is taken from Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen.
My name is Kofi 19. I am 7 years old. My memory verse is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. With joy always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.
My name is Eto Donko. I'm 9 years old. My memory test is taken from Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting. Together as some are in, let us encourage one another, and all the more the day approaching. Amen.
My name is Emanuela Kuma. I am 8 years old. My memory verse is taken from Psalm 100 verse 1. Psalm 100 verse 1. Make a joyful shout unto the Lord. Amen.
My name is Brady Sewa Bonsu. I am 10 years old. My memory verse is taken from 1 John chapter 9 verse 1. 1 John chapter 9 verse 1. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank you.
Friends, to another edition of Storytime. Today we are continuing with the second part of Love's Greatest Test. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." What hope those words held. But how could it happen? If Abraham obeyed God and killed his son, how could both of them ever come back? Unless God had planned to work a new and still greater miracle for him, such a thing had never happened and had never been done before. But yes, God could do it. He had said that nothing was too hard for him. Perhaps he would even raise Isaac from the dead. We read in the book of Hebrews, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his only one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. On the way up the mountainside, Isaac began to wonder just what his father had in mind. He had felt very proud and happy at being alone with him on this long journey to build a new altar to God. Now, it suddenly dawned on him that something was missing. Father had forgotten the animal for the sacrifice. They had traveled all this long way for nothing. The most important item had been left behind. "Father, yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham had been dreading this question. What could he say? He was going to have to tell Isaac the awful truth. Sometime, but not yet, not till the last moment. So Abraham replied, and we can almost hear his voice tremble, "My son, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering." Abraham had said much more than he realized. His words were prophetic, long years in the future, God will do this very thing, not only for Abraham, but for everybody. He will provide a lamb to die on Calvary, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. On, they went together. The climb was slow and tiring, but at last they came to the place God had told them about. Abraham built an altar and laid the wood on it. He took a long time to prepare the wood. He kept wondering and wondering whether God would do something, so he wouldn't have to take the next step for the sacrifice. But nothing happened. At last, Abraham turned to Isaac and explained, the best he could, what God wanted him to do. Now we see Isaac's beautiful character. He was young and strong. He could have refused to be sacrificed. He could have overpowered his old father and ran for his life, but he didn't. When he understood it was God's will that he should die, he gave himself up willingly. Abraham bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. If ever heaven and earth were close together, it was at that moment. Abraham, with tears running down his cheeks, as he took one last look at his son, the son he loved so much, stood by the altar, and God, watching with deep interest, stood right beside him. Will his faithful servant make such a great sacrifice without a word of complaint? Will he stand this awful test? Will he go through to the bitter end rather than disobey God? Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac closed his eyes, waiting for the fatal cut. The knife flashed in the morning sunlight, but it never touched him. Suddenly, the silence of that mountaintop was broken by the sound of a voice, loud, urgent, commanding, as though God himself were anxious now. Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. The voice came just in time. In another moment, Abraham would have done the deed. Now the knife that might have killed the boy cut the ropes around him and set him free. How father and son must have hugged each other in speechless joy at their amazing rescue, and how God must have smiled on them both for their love and devotion to him. The voice spoke again. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Suddenly, Abraham saw a ram caught by its horn in the bushes. Maybe it had been there all the time, but both of them had been too worried to notice it. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. The voice spoke again. God was still close by, happy that Abraham had loved him so much that he had been willing to give up his dearest treasure. The voice said, I swear by myself that because you have done this and have not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Wonderful promise! With these words, God gave the whole treasury of heaven to his loyal and faithful servant. And he offers this same blessing to all those who will love him like Abraham did and are willing to lay their best treasures on the altar of sacrifice. Your whole life will be different, radiantly happy and beautiful as you walk with God toward the land of promise. We must learn to obey God and follow him, and he will bless us. Until next time, it's bye.
To contact us, write to Adventist World Radio, Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box, AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, or call us on +233-244-673528 or +233-208-704-532. or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh.
Little children, boys and girls, am I not glad that you are here to listen to your anchor once again? So we continue to think about the serious questions from little Hass. So she said, God, where do you live? I said, wow, no one has been to heaven before. Oh, you heard heaven. You bow down your heads. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, as we want to think about where you live, please bless us and help us to understand. Please let us see pictures of heaven, even as we listen and when we sleep at night. Help us to dream about heaven, because we are told heaven is a very beautiful place. Thank you, dear Jesus, for being such a nice, lovely friend for us. Amen. Where do you think God lives? You know, when I asked my little girls about this question, they pointed, you know, upwards. Well, then another girl, you know, standing by said, okay, uncle, you know what? Teacher tells us that the world is round. So if the world is round and God lives in heaven, I point here, what about those who live, you know, below where we live, since it is round and we are living on the surface of the earth? Let's say it is like a ball and I am living somewhere here, somewhere, you know, on the circumference. Somebody will also be living down there, Somebody will be up there. So when we point to heaven, where are we pointing to? Where is heaven? That is a tough question. I said, why will my niece ask me such a tough question? I think we had better ask the astronauts, you know, at the American Space Station questions such as this. I've never been to space before. Well, but questions about God, you want to go to the Bible, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul relates a very interesting experience. Paul says he knew a man in Christ who was about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, he said he was caught up to heaven. And then he said he knew such a man. Then he said he was caught up to the third heavens. Wow. So there is heaven number one, heaven number two, and heaven number three. Well, that is where God lives. God lives in the heavens. But how far away are the heavens? To try to explain this to you would be, you know, making an attempt to explain the internet to an ant. It would be difficult, don't you think so? Just look at the tiny ant explaining to the ant how wonderful, how wide, how vast, how deep the internet is. It would be too difficult a thing for the ant to understand. Well, that is how it is. But the heaven has the Bible has given us certain glimpses of heaven. One, we know that in heaven, that is where God lives. So the heaven is the center, the headquarters of the universe. But how pretty, how does heaven look like? There are serious, you know, things that the Bible says about heaven, you know. John the Revelator, the gentleman we spoke of the other time, he says that the streets of heaven, what are they made of? Who knows? Well, you better tell uncle about it or tell mommy if you really know. They said the heavens, the streets in heavens, they are made of pure gold. Wow! If the streets where we will be walking, that is made of gold, then you would want to wonder, what will the walls be made, you know, of? Diamonds, emerald, other precious stones? I think you are right. Heaven is a very serious place. Let me tell you one other thing about heaven. The Bible says there is sea in heaven. And that sea, it is called the crystal sea, the sea of glass. Can you imagine that? So you would imagine that in heaven, you wouldn't need to buy a mirror. No, you don't need to. Since the sea is a sea of glass, when you want to dress, just take your things, go to the seashore, and you'll see yourself pretty clear in it. It is a sea of glass. There's another interesting thing in heaven that you want to know. Well, in heaven, there aren't restaurants. There aren't chop bars. That woman who sells food, you know, under the tree in school, you wouldn't see food vendors in heaven. In heaven, there is the tree of life. And the Bible tells us that the tree of life, we will be going there to eat once every month. And in the once every month, it will give all kinds of tastes. And people everywhere will come and eat of that tree. Every taste, every good taste that we know, that tree will give us. Well, you may wonder, which is the electricity company in heaven? Have you thought of it? Well, in heaven, the people who work in the electricity company, they wouldn't have jobs in heaven. You know why? The Bible says that the face of God shines so bright, there is no night there. In heaven, there is no night there. We can play and play and play and run and run and run. We will know no tiredness. If we will want to play football, I am sure we can play and play and play. Whatever you love doing. You know, on earth, there are just 12 hours during the day. In heaven, the hours are endless. The Bible says one day before God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Wow! So, how will the 1 month be measured? Well, God knows. I believe there will be some kind of wonderful clock in heaven that shows us as the days, you know, roll by. But it is interesting. The Bible says there will be so much to see. We're going to see Grandpa Abraham. We will see Moses. We will see Adam. We will see Eve. We will see Abel. We will see Seth. We will see all those wonderful people. I tell you, if you don't go to heaven, it will be the greatest loss. If there is anything we need to give up in order to go to heaven, let us do it right now. You know the other serious thing? The people who are issuing visas for people to fly to heaven, they are doing it right now. And bad guys and bad girls aren't going there. I will tell you next time about the dress code in heaven. It's interesting. But would Jesus allow us, such naughty boys and girls like us, to go to heaven? Well, in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, you know, Christ told them that he will soon be leaving, and they were sad. Then he said, don't you be sad. You know what? Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If that were not true, I would have told you, you know, I'm going to prepare a good place for you. And after I have gone and prepared the place for you, I will come for you and I will take you to where I am, so that where I am, there you also may be. Is that not beautiful? In heaven, I will tell you, there are more beautiful things about heaven. I am excited about heaven, and I know you are excited about heaven. Prepare to go to heaven. Do everything possible. Be the best you can. Because, yes, we may be naughty now. Christ is not cross with us. He's not angry. But we will not take this naughty behavior to heaven. So, when we are asked to be nice people, let us be nice people. The Lord bless you. I love you, my niece. I love you, my nephew. God bless you as you begin dreaming about heaven. Shall we have a word of prayer? Dear Jesus, we want to be in this beautiful heaven. You have not told us about the aircraft that will take us to heaven. But please, whatever that aircraft will be, help us to make it so that when you welcome your people, we'll be one of them. Bless us. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for preparing heaven for us. In your name have we prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.
To contact us, write to Adventist World Radio, Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box, AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana. Or call us on +233-244-673528 or +233-208-704-532 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh. Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, to contact us, write to Adventist World Radio, Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box, AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, or call us on +233-307-051-058 or +233-208-704-532 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh.